Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Well, personally, I don't take things personal from people I don't know personally.
Words of wisdom from new Houston Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs. Not going to lie, I kind of like it. I think we should all, the Angry Bees, take, you know, that into account. We should all think about that. In case you didn't hear Mr. Stephon Diggs there, what he said is, personally, I don't take things personal from people I don't know personally.
Mm.
I think that's great advice for all of us in this little game that we like to call life.
Yes. Yeah, I do my best. Sometimes Junior Bronco gets to me. But for the most part, I'm okay. I agree.
We all have our demons.
He's mine.
For those who don't know, Junior Broncos is on our Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. They're sometimes toxic, but we do enjoy them because they're always around for the show. You can watch us on YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston. We finally heard from Stephon Diggs. I did think it was pretty interesting that this is the first time that we heard from Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hear from him at either of the Houston Texans OTA availabilities the last couple of weeks. We didn't hear from him right after the Texans traded for him. This is the first that we got to hear from him. He spoke for 15 minutes with the Houston media, and while it's not like you're going to learn that much from a press conference, I will admit I liked seeing him up there. And I think that he said all of the right things.
Yeah, I it is odd that we waited so long to hear from him. I was actually just more curious. Like, I appreciate that he talked about, that he was asked about Buffalo. I thought he gave a good answer. Just because you like to hear players, speak about being on a new team. Why they want to be here. Where are they at in their career? What went wrong in the past? What is there a belief that went wrong and is not totally true? Even just some of the side of his side of what's going on versus the reality of it.
He credited Josh Allen for his time in Buffalo. He said that line that we played coming into the segment, that he doesn't care about the perception that things didn't end well in Buffalo for him. Again, personally, I don't take things personal from people I don't know personally. Not caring about other people, how they perceive you, it is hard.
Oh.
No matter who you are, it is hard. We, as we've just talked about, from time to time have our own moments where we deal with it, whether it's a caller or a texter or a follower. Maybe it's someone in our personal life. For Diggs, that was a highly publicized end of his time in Buffalo that ended with the Bills changing their offense midseason. We talked with Tyler Dunn about it from the Go Long podcast, and he told us about how, the Bills started clicking when they phased him out of the offense. He had that big drop against the Chiefs, and he said in this conversation he had with Houston media that he felt like things were trending towards a trade, and the trade happened. And really all you can do after something like that goes down is say, I've learned some things along the way. He wouldn't really dive into that. He tried to talk around that when asked, what are those lessons that you learned in Minnesota and in Buffalo?
I did find it interesting that, I guess, like, look, we don't, like, you don't listen to every single press conference, remember things that happened so long ago. He acknowledged that Minnesota basically sent him to Buffalo to fail. Like he
more said, than succeeded there. His numbers in Buffalo were incredible.
It's funny to hear, like, even someone just say, like, years later, of like, I don't think they traded me to Buffalo with the best intentions. And then it went very well for him. And it should go very well here for 1 year.
Especially with the way that he carried himself in this press conference. And again, it's one thing when it's the first couple of days, first couple of weeks at a new job. It's an entire other thing when things maybe aren't going so smoothly there. In the NFL, it's a really hard league, and the Texans have a very difficult schedule. But some of the things that he said along the way here, I really enjoyed acknowledging that there are other good wide receivers on the team here. Here he is at yesterday's press conference talking about all of the talent and all of the mouths to feed, if it's something that needs to be in the back of everybody's mind, establishing a balance on that side of things.
I mean, I feel like that's something I knew coming in, you know what I'm saying, before I got here. Obviously know that Nick had a hell of a year. Tenka just got hurt. He was going to have a hell of a year. And it's always a balance. It's not my job to sling the pill around. It's my job to call the plays. I just got to get open and catch it. So for me, it's not nothing I would worry about, considering, you know, you do your job, you get the ball. And I feel like this offense is one of those offenses that got a lot of horses in the stable, you know what I'm saying? Let them all loose. We'll figure the rest out.
He's not coming in here thinking he's the alpha dog right away. And I like that. That's an important perspective to have, because that is legitimately the exact opposite of what the perception that he doesn't care about, because he doesn't personally take things personal from people he doesn't know personally. That was the perception, is that he's one of those guys that, like Antonio Brown, would freak out if, even in a game where he gets 17 targets, other guys have more numbers than him. And it's one thing to say it, of course, but this is exactly what you're supposed to say at a podium when you are joining a bunch of wide receivers who he acknowledges, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, and also John Metchie, who he acknowledged.
Yeah, and look, he's CJ, you know, talked about this too, where he's like, if you're open, you're going to get the ball. And one of the things that reassuring for Stephon Diggs, I can't imagine he's like a watcher of a lot of college football. But one of the positives for this situation this year, with all the talent they have, and as he said, the horses in the stable, this is not the first time that C.J. Stroud is going to look to his left and to his right and have incredible talent all around him. Think back to 2021. C.J. Stroud at Ohio State was throwing passes to first-round pick Chris Olave, first-round picks Jaxon Smith-Njigba, first-round pick Garrett Wilson. Like, three first-rounders in his second-to-last year of college, and each one of them had over 60 catches, and almost all three of them had 1,000 yards or more in that season. So if you're open, CJ is going to get you the ball. Everybody's going to eat in this offense. Like, he might not have the numbers that Justin Jefferson has this year, Stephon Diggs, but he's going to put up numbers.
That is at least the hope. Specifically for him, I would imagine, as far as getting paid, but that might not be the priority anymore, because he was asked by Cole Thompson, I believe. Or did Cole Thompson just play?
Cole's the only one who tweeted it, yeah.
He was asked if he feels that he's been chasing a Super Bowl. Here was his answer.
And I obviously believe in this team. I believe in the quarterback. You know, those are, you know, unspoken things that we all can assume. But for me, chasing a ring isn't like I came here to chase it. I came here to win. And that starts with a game one, and moving forward, of course you want a ring. And it sounds good to be like, you want a Super Bowl and you want a ring, but it takes a lot of effort and a lot of consistency. For me, I'm going to take it in one day at a time. It starts in practice. It starts in the walkthrough. It starts in the meeting room. So for me, winning is always in the forefront of my brain with everything that I do. You know what I'm saying? But it's one thing at a time rather than just jumping the gun. I don't put the carriage before the horse.
Very good up to the last parts, the cart before the horse. Though there's obviously the stick and the carrot
with the
horse,
too. I think he just got across the streams a little bit.
He's not Nikola Jokic, right? Like, Nikola Jokic, he wouldn't have those up because he's a horse guy.
No, he's got all the horse metaphors.
Look, he fits in with the Texans. He gets analogies wrong.
To go back, though, to this question, he was asked, hey, did you come here to chase rings, essentially.
Came to win.
And his answer was one of those ones where he wasn't insulted by it. There's a lot of athletes who would be insulted by that question.
Yeah.
He did not feel that way. And, I mean, he said, the reason I came here is because I believe in this team and I believe in this quarterback. So he said all the right things. It's a press conference. The biggest question for all of us is truly going to be about how does he handle the tough times? Because I think the Texans are going to face some challenges this year that they didn't face last year. They're a year older. They're a year better. But they're going to be playing against some teams that are going to beat them, because no one goes undefeated in this league, but also they have the toughest schedule in the NFL outside of the AFC North.
Yeah, it's still the hope would be is that he isn't a contract year and he's going to be on his best behavior. You know, like he's not going to have the freak out moments that he did have with Josh Allen on the sidelines, that he had with Kirk Cousins on the sideline in Minnesota. I think CJ Stroud is going to be a better quarterback, if not already a better quarterback than both of those guys. But he's going to want the ball because he also wants to get paid. So, like, how do you handle that? Winning does fix everything. Like when you talk about the frustrations he had in Buffalo this last year.
But they did win their last six games last year.
But they weren't winning when early on. So, even, like, that's
But when the offense changed is when he got frustrated.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
That's the trickiest part about last year. And we asked Tyler Dunn about it. It's one thing to say all of these things. It's another thing to believe it. But I liked everything that I heard from him. Mm. I liked that we finally got to hear from him as well.
Yeah, the first step is this. And yes, it is the first time he's talking as a Texan. And it's OTAs. It's June 4th when he was at the podium. So saying all the right things, you can only put so much weight into it. But at the very least, he is saying all the right things, and he is having the exact mindset that you would want him to have. He's not giving non-answers. He is giving answers that are the right answers.
He's showing a willingness to, one, acknowledge the fact that he's not necessarily the number one guy coming in here, but two, you can tell he's trying to impress people that are in the building because he feels like he needs to earn his spot. And how long that lasts, again, it's a big question, but he says he's trying to be himself. He's also trying to grow. I hope that happens. Truly do. Because, you know, I was very skeptical about the idea of trading for Stephon Diggs. I push back on it a lot. Is this changing my mind? Is this making me feel like that's all in the rearview mirror? Not necessarily, but yesterday was a good start. And again, I'm glad we got to hear from him.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, he's had a tough couple days here in training camp. That's all we know. We saw one video yesterday, Derek Stingley Jr., he got him. Oof. Today, apparently, Christian Harris got a sideline interception when he was in coverage on Stephon Diggs.
Kamari Lassiter has apparently been good in coverage.
Can't even beat Christian Harris on a play.
Or.
Cooked.
Or. This defense might be the best in the league.
That's what Joe Mixon said.
I hope.
Like, Joe Mixon was like, thank God I'm on this team.
I'm glad that you brought that quote up, Joe. Coming up next, hey, it's minicamp now. What observed at Texans minicamp is an observation, and what's an exaggeration? We will discuss next. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. First, let me tell you about my friends at my favorite place in the world, Highway Cantina, where you can get a 975 tall Texan margarita. The weather outside is crap. The ballpark has terrible air conditioning. The Highway Cantina, it's your friend, right smack in the middle of downtown, right by the ballpark. Before or after the game, what a great place to go. For a happy hour if you're working downtown. Date spot? Trying to impress the boss? The Highway Cantina is your go-to place. I love it. It's not just the margaritas. You know, I like a good margarita. It's also the many things that they have on their menu. Last time I went there, had the wood-fired oysters. Delicious. You also, at the Highway Cantina, can get so many other things. Like, I don't know, how about just your routine fajitas? But they got some really good chicken fajitas. I'm telling you, it's the best chicken fajitas I've ever had because of the seasoning that they have in it. The salsa verde, for God's sakes. It's so good. The Highway Cantina is my favorite restaurant in town. Make it yours. Check it out. And tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
ESPN 97.5.
broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Texans mini camp is, I believe, wrapping up as we speak. Their second practice available to the media. We had plenty of things to react to yesterday and some to react to as well. They went inside since the weather's not so good. We're going to play a little game
soft.
Here. Soft boys every 12:30 here on Gallant and George. I mean, I kind of get it when the weather starts doing the lightning thing.
You know, I don't want player. We don't need like a torn ACL because of rain. Okay.
I agree with that. But as someone who played football in the hail on Saturday and barely made it inside my car when the lightning started touching down in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I got to say, I was about that life.
Part of the reason why I like when like they try to, you know, deal with the weather and they you know, they play outside is because I love to see the real soft boys come out.
Mm-hmm.
The media. The bitching from the media that comes out. You know, like I like John McClain. But we all remember the AC tweets that were going out last year about there not being an AC tent for the media members when there was.
One of the things that I'm very proud of in my very, 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 very unsuccessful football playing career is this. Since I practiced in 2-a-days in the Florida heat, I feel like I'm built a little bit different. I don't think I'd be able to do it in the cold, but I feel like I'm built for the heat. And I like when the Texans practice outside because I do believe that being able to practice in this swelter makes you about as tough as it gets. Mm. Even Miami, they don't have bleep on you.
Tampa Bay,
they don't have bleep on you. This is the number one. And it's one of the reasons that, yes, I understand that you want to play inside because it would be a better fan experience. But there is a part of me that wishes that the Texans played outdoors because they would kill people the first month of the year.
Yeah, like their fans?
Like literally, they would kill people. Remember the Miami-Buffalo game? I guess it was 2 years ago now. Because I think they scheduled around it to where they don't – because there's – I think it was 2022 where they had like week 2, it was in Miami in the heat. And then week 17, it was in Buffalo in the snow.
Hockey or snow game.
The next year, they just flipped it. They're like, okay, we're not doing this because – like, Stephon Diggs, newest Texan, Stephon Diggs was like fainting as they were trying to run a 2-minute drill.
That happens from time
to time.
Yeah,
that'll happen.
It does.
It happens. But what I'm trying to say is that that would be a home field advantage, and I believe that the outdoors should be a part of this game. It's what separates it from all the other ones. The extreme heat, the extreme cold, the extreme wet, everything should be on the table for a football game, and if you're a real man, sorry to be toxically masculine, but you'll go out there and you'll play. Anyway, Texans didn't do that today. It's practice. It's practice. I'm not calling.
Things we just learned in this last like 2-minute rant here. Texans, not real men.
I'm not saying that.
That's why only teams from Texas and Florida win championships.
Yep.
I think they'd win more if they played outside.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they'd win more. Anyway.
That's why the Jags have so much success.
Well, they're also drafting terrible quarterbacks, and they have Trent Baalke running.
But they're tough.
Anyway, I'm just saying what I feel. Minicamp day 2, wrapping up. We've seen some things discussed by the people who are out there observing the practice, and I thought we'd play a quick little game here. Mm. Is this a correct observation or a gross exaggeration?
Okay.
Our guy, DJ Bien-Aimé, who's going to join me tomorrow, because Joe's taking a little vacay, he had this to say about what he's seen out of, get this, John Mechie, who a lot of people aren't maybe really thinking about in the way that you would want to. Quote, I want to say an observation I've seen throughout the offseason. The explosiveness of Texans wide receiver John Mechie III appears to be back. He's positioning himself to make training camp a battle for playing time. So going into the year, you're thinking, okay, fourth or fifth wide receiver or something like that. And I know that is perhaps a boring conversation. But this was a guy who once was thought to be a first-round caliber talent, tore his ACL, battled through cancer, tough guy to even be back on the field with an opportunity to do this again. Do you buy into people seeing that he's explosive, that actually being real here? Is this a correct observation or gross exaggeration?
I'm going to buy it. Part of it is who's saying it. Like I trust DJ's eyes in this moment where he's been around. But he's not the only one. Like CJ and a lot of the other members of the Texans organization have been talking about this. It is the best situation possible for the Texans this year, for there not to be much of a training camp battle, and for John Metchie to very clearly be your fourth wide receiver, and maybe Noah Brown's a quick, you know, casualty to this roster as he's dealing with an injury. Robert Woods also will probably be a casualty. Like, John Metchie being the fourth guy on this team is best for the future when Stephon Diggs probably won't be a Texan mm-hmm. in 2025. So I think this one's going to be spot on. I don't know what it means.
Explosiveness back for John Metchie III.
I mean, it makes sense coming off of an ACL and cancer that it takes a while to get it all the way back. He's still young. It's what, his third year in the league. So yeah, I'm willing to buy it.
For what it's worth, Jadeveon Clowney, I thought his best season with the Texans was 2016, where he was coming off of not cancer, but similar knee issues his first 2 years
and
in the league.
I know, like, most people are like, who has breakouts in year three of their NFL career? Well, they happen here.
Guys that get cancer in year one.
Or guys that, you know, play for the Texans, like Nico Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Well, shout out to Dylan Horton. It's a big year for Dylan Horton, too, who also just beat cancer. Ring that bell, buddy.
True.
Will Anderson, per Will Kunkel of Fox 26, has put on a lot of weight. Thoughts on this as a mere observation, or is it something that you will turn into a big exaggeration? Will Anderson poised for bigger things as a bigger human being?
I don't want to tell Kunkel how to do his job,
dude. I'm doing the take job for him right now. That's his observation. Yeah. He thinks that Will Anderson is bigger. My question to you guys is: does that mean he's going to have a bigger year this year?
That's my exact thing. Will Kunkel, got to give me a number.
Yeah.
Pull it out of your ass. I don't care. Tell me 15 to 20 pounds.
Well, you have to ask him about that. I don't know if somebody asked Anderson about that today, because I believe he met with the media today.
Oh, it's his day.
He mentioned that Azeez Al-Shaair gave him some crap today when he was getting annoyed about getting called for an offside. So mm-hmm. nice leadership from Al-Shaair there already in the middle of that Texans defense. But
I want a number. That's all I want. I want a number. How many pounds? He looks bigger.
Derek Stingley got bigger from year one to year two. That was also talked about a lot in last year's offseason. So things to keep in mind.
Yeah.
I like that he's bigger. I will just say that. How about that?
I also like that he's bigger.
I'll go observation.
Yeah, it's a good observation.
Me making the exaggeration that he'll be better this year, would be an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Right. I am with all of you guys there. I'm just doing this for the sake of argument.
I can see it now. It's 302. Will Anderson hasn't had a sack in five games. And Jeremy Branham is rereading this tweet saying Will Anderson's slow.
But his pass rush win rate is the top five in the league. But he has no sacks.
Yep.
One last one. An observation or an exaggeration. There's been a lot of talk about how Kamari Lassiter, second round pick from Georgia, has come in, and people are taking a moment to recognize specific moments in practice where he's looked pretty good out there. Here's a tweet. This is from one of those Houston Texans fan accounts. Nothing wrong with that, do you? At Stroud for All Pro. Kamari Lassiter standing out in OTAs against the Texans wide receiver core.
Okay.
We got a special player.
It's good to know a fan account who's not there thinks that.
Observation or gross exaggeration?
Because he's just stealing someone's content. fact.
Yes.
I mean, he's not there.
He's not there.
We don't even know if it's he, to be honest. We could be in a lot of trouble right now, Paul.
She, they, them.
Yeah.
We checked all the boxes. Just
this
there.
This person... they're not there. So if just the first part came from Will Kunkel, DJ Bienemy, mm-hmm. Cody Studes, like someone that we know is there.
Oh, you're putting Cody in a big category there.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Never mind.
No, it's
never
okay.
Mind, Cody. Joe told me to take you out of this category.
I didn't say that. I was just acknowledging it.
I just wanted to name a third person. But if it was just the first part from a person I knew was there, the observation. That's good. The second part.
Wait. Can I stop you? Can I help you here?
Yes.
Will Anderson today said, quote, "I've been amazed by him." When asked about Kamari last year.
There have been two players that have
I want to make sure Sean has all the info before he makes his take.
Thank you. Thank you for that. And I'll put Cody back into the back into the upper echelon of Texans reporters.
There have been two players that have been complimented because questions have been asked about them. It's John Metchie and it's Kamari Lassiter. If you're looking for fluffy quotes about any two Texans players, you're going to find a lot about those two. What does that mean for this year? Who knows? I mean, again, we just heard the other day that Treylon Burks with the Tennessee Titans is looking like a combination of A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, and Terrell Owens, and apparently he's a gunner on special teams. So things that you always have to take with a grain of salt.
T.O. was awesome on special teams.
And he has to be good as a gunner on special teams to make the team.
But Lassiter and Metchie have been drawing praise. So just something to keep in mind for this time of year.
It's the second part of that Stroud for MVP tweet where it's, we got a special one on our hands.
I agree with you totally.
Exaggeration. He could be a good starting cornerback and not be, we got a special one on our hands the second week of OTAs.
Yeah, like put some pads on.
Yes.
But it is interesting that, you know, I saw Cole Thompson tweeting about this, that you know, they said he was going to get work on the inside and the outside as a nickel and an outside corner. Casario and D'Amico said that. He's taking all of his snaps on the outside right now. So that is interesting because, you know, we talked about his speed. If he's fast enough to be an outside corner, they said he was going to be a nickel. Nick Casario talked about how he might be more suited to be a nickel. But right now, everything's happening on the outside. So I don't know if that's just the way things are going here in minicamp or if it means something.
That is an interesting observation. I will just repeat the quote that D'Amico Ryans essentially said at the beginning of OTAs that he said yesterday at minicamp. Minicamp is for our guys just to compete for a chance to put themselves in a position to have an opportunity to make the team in training camp. Everything, take it with a grain of salt. Mm-hmm. But Kamari Lassiter, he's getting opportunities. He's apparently doing well. John Metchie, same thing. Gallant and George. He is Joe George. I am Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. We are 92 days away from the start of the NFL season. Who's the best number 92 in NFL history? And this is the greatest email ever sent by a head coach in league history. It's not John Gruden. You'll find out who it is next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
92 days away. The greatest number 92 in NFL history. Who's going to be better?
That's the easy one.
Hit me, baby.
George, you're what?
R.I.P.
Yeah. And then there's the biggest fraudulent moment in NFL history.
You're going to say that moment was a fraudulent moment?
Strahan?
Michael Strahan.
Come on, Favre laid down.
Record-breaking sack. The fact that you did not say James Harrison
means
that he has the ability to, much like the Wu-Tang Clan with that album.
Kill me?
Martin Shkreli apparently has. Yeah, they can come. He can just take your soul. He can take your soul at any moment.
He is a scary human being.
Considering that Harrison is 5'11", as far as NFL guys I wouldn't want to mess with that are sub 6 feet tall, I think he's number one.
Oh, he's easily number one. Best player to wear number 92 for the Texans? Anthony Weaver?
Yeah, that would probably be it.
Dylan Horton? Shout out to him.
Shout out to Dylan Horton again. Two mentions in this show already. Shout out to you beating Kansas.
Something called an Earl Mitchell.
Earl Mitchell was a good player. Don't say something called an Earl Mitchell. Earl was good. I remember Earl.
Those look like the best ones.
Anyway, guys, we also have to talk about other things going on around the NFL. You want to talk about the Miami Dolphins? Miami Dolphins, Miami Dolphins number one?
What did they give us?
Oh, well, you know what? They gave us a lot. Specifically, they gave us a couple of epic quotes about money, 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 money. Here is Tua Tagovailoa when asked about his contract situation.
you view those numbers that others get around the league as benchmarks for your negotiations, like Jared Goff getting 53 per year?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. The market is the market. If we didn't have a market, then none of that would matter. It'd just be an organizational thing, you know? Didn't matter if that guy got paid that, because it's up to the organization. So that's what I would say. The market is the market. That's it.
The market is the market.
Organization.
I got it. Yeah, is he Canadian?
It really annoyed me every time he said it.
I got to give Tua credit, because it's a tough spot to be in where everyone's just asking you about your contract, and it's very clear that he just wants his agent to take care of this thing. If I'm the Miami Dolphins, I am being very, very careful about giving him that long-term extension he wants, a la Jared Goff, entirely because of the concussion thing. I mean, the guy's brain, no offense, has been scrambled. As someone with a scrambled brain, because I hit my head on things all the time accidentally because I'm a clutch.
He took jiu-jitsu classes, so he's fine.
Well, you hope so.
Also, he is very skinny now.
Yeah, they say he lost a bunch of weight.
He lost a little bit of weight, yeah.
Which is kind of weird, because like some of those concussions were because he was getting ragdolled. Like, they were not hard hits at all. He was just getting thrown to the ground. So I lose weight? Maybe a bad idea.
Yeah, he's very skinny.
I wouldn't pay him a dime.
Well, I'd pay him.
Whoa.
You get him for a dime?
A dime?
I'd pay him a dime if I could.
Imagine how much salary cap room
you're
saving?
That's tons of space, Joe.
Way under the minimum, too.
I get what you're saying, though. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, the concussion stuff. I'm not paying him.
I agree with you on that front. And I also think he's one of those quarterbacks where you like what you got, but you're always going to think you can do better. Do you want to be a settler in life? I don't. Am I going to be single for the entire rest of my life? Probably as a result of that.
No.
Yes.
Come on. You'll find.
Find the one.
You'll find your Brock Purdy one day.
My Brock Purdy. I don't want a system wife. Come on. Tyreek Hill also had thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa's contract, and clearly a man of great business intellect.
I feel like at the end of the day, if you feel like you top five or something, that's like if you work at Amazon. You like one of the best Amazon delivery drivers. You gonna feel a certain type of way. You gonna go to your boss and say, "Hey, bro, I'm doing 100 routes, and this person only doing 65 routes. I'm supposed to be the top paid person. You feel me? So if you feel like you deserve something, go get it. You feel me?
How do you feel about Tua's situation in terms of the fact that the contract still hasn't gotten done?
Tua should have been paid. I've been saying this all offseason, man. And I know we got a great, you know, front office with Greer and Short, and they gonna get it done. Obviously, a lot of people are comparing the Jared Goff situation and stuff like that. But I mean, I feel like Tua is supposed to be up there with some of them guys and past some of them guys, man. Because just understanding his story and just the progression of how he's getting better each and every year and how he's carrying this offense. It's crazy.
I mean, just like, of all the things I was expecting to hear in that quote.
To compare a quarterback to an Amazon driver?
Yep.
Guys who famously have easy jobs and can just walk in and ask for more money. Like, oh yeah, Amazon has great working conditions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that the Miami Dolphins would be telling Tua Tagovailoa that he has to pee into a water bottle in the middle of a play if he has to go to the bathroom?
No pee breaks.
Right. Like, that's what Amazon's issue is, right?
Yeah, I mean, he goes on the sidelines, probably. We've seen NFL players do that.
That is the interesting thing. And listen, I've brought this up before, but one time we played a team that was playing at a park. Like, it was a nice field, but it was in the middle of a park. There were kids in the park. There was nowhere to go. Cause usually you just go like by a tree and go. So our entire football team, before beating Gateway Charter 62-0, we all peed our pants on the field.
Oh, Paul.
We had to go.
Mark Schlereth did.
And Mark Schlereth did.
Why don't
baby.
You guys like form a circle and just go one at a time?
Because that's weird.
Instead of just play with pee pants?
Yeah. Again, it's hot. It's going to evaporate and then get sweaty again. So
were y'all wearing white?
I think we had green pants that day. Would have shown.
Good.
Would have shown. Scored my first ever touchdown.
Did you like put water everywhere to make sure?
No. Listen. I had to go, so I went.
It makes sense.
Scored a touchdown. What's up?
As Rhino says here on the Twitch, nasty, Paul.
Hey, whatever. Listen, you know what? Some of us are ballers. Some of us aren't. Mm. Hey, Micah Parsons, speaking of ballers, interesting to see the dichotomy between how players feel about OTAs and how coaches feel about OTAs. So Micah Parsons said that OTAs let his body heal, and that's the only equity he has. Micah Parsons, meanwhile, talked about voluntary practices and said that Micah Parsons missing them, Mike McCarthy said this, it's a missed opportunity for Parsons. Okay. Now, I'd use these two differing opinions on OTAs to get to the greatest email that an NFL coach has ever written. All of John Gruden's, the absolute worst. Bill Belichick wrote this email to Patriots tackle Matt Leit after Matt Leit did not go to the Patriots offseason program in April of 2007. He quoted, Belichick did, at the beginning of this email, Matt Leit talking about how OTAs are a chance for players to bond. Wrote Bill, "Hey Matt, I just read this quote from you. What the F? We have over 50 guys working out today, and the one guy who isn't here does all the talking about how important the offseason is. Figures. A lot of your teammates were concerned about you and asked why you weren't here. But don't worry. We let them all know that you're in Hawaii for a week. If you want to do something productive out there, why don't you have them move this meeting to the week before teams start their offseason programs? Very respectfully yours, Bill Belichick." Matt Leit wrote in response, "Despite my commitment to the offseason programs, I felt compelled to move forward the collective good of the players through attendance at the PA Players Association meetings," because he went to that in Hawaii instead, but it's Hawaii. "Your humble, free-willed tackle, Matt Leit." Belichick responded, "Concluding remarks, Matt, I need some time to let this one settle, but I'll start with this. Why don't you consider dedicating yourself to having fewer mistakes and not leading the team and once again being the most penalized player on offense? Your numerous false start penalties and evidence once again at the Pro Bowl and other transgressions like taunting continue to make me think that your distractions off the field affect your concentration on the field. My advice," wrote Bill Belichick to Matt Leit, "if you have an interest in improving your performance, would be to minimize your distractions and focus on maximizing your physical development and technique in the offseason program. I continue to feel that you were totally out of line commenting on the importance of the program when you're not in attendance. Finally, Matt, there is no need to use multi-syllable words in your email that neither you nor I know. I am unimpressed. This will conclude my email chain." Called him out for using big words.
He called him out for false starts in the Pro Bowl.
I like it.
Hey, that's why Bill Belichick's the GOAT.
That's why he's the GOAT.
Every game matters.
Can you imagine how many other emails he sent like that?
Well, just because it's funny that, like...
Can we get him, like, FOIA'd or something? Can we get a look at all of his emails? Not for nefarious reasons, but just for these kind of emails?
That's what I want, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that Julian Edelman got one of those. I'm sure that anyone who interacted with Belichick via email and did something that perhaps slightly annoyed him, I'm sure they would receive this. Look, some people respond very well to that kind of coaching.
I hope one day he just, like, releases a book with all of his emails.
Man.
Just keeping it real.
Because the fact that because it is funny that, like Matt Leit, did they say what year this is from?
This is from 2007.
Okay, we had
before cell the phones. Season, they went undefeated.
We had cell phones. We had text messages.
Voicemail.
We did not have text messages in the way that we had text messaging in 2007. I mean, you were doing
it. This makes more sense.
It would have to be T9.
Yeah,
you're right. This is a lot for T9.
Yeah, like a BlackBerry or something
but
like that.
I also still see Bill Belichick, instead of texting this today, if it happened, sending an email.
When you mentioned Julian Edelman, I was thinking, like, well, played in like 2016. Like I don't think he emailed him. But then I thought Bill Belichick probably he learned email and he was like, "That's where I'm stopping. That is how I'm reaching people professionally from now on. I'll either call them or email them."
Using someone's quote against them is that's like sports talk radio host level.
He could be a sports talk radio host.
Yeah, well,
being the GOAT's
not
enough.
Don't tell him that. He is Joe George. Sean Mapes behind the glass.
We did the number 92 thing to start the segment.
Yeah.
And then we talked about the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Did you know Anthony Weaver is the defensive coordinator for the Dolphins?
Yeah.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Just on a side note.
Yeah, I know that because I believe Seth Payne talks him up all of the time.
Gotcha. Okay.
I remember that from my time back in the day. Anyway,
It is Golan and George on the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 on it at ESPN Houston on YouTube, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Interesting rumor about what the Rockets might do this offseason and LeBron James. My God, the NBA Finals tip off tomorrow. He's not in them, and he still made it about himself. You'll hear it next.
ESPN 97.5.
Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
NBA Finals tip off tomorrow. Celtics, Mavericks. I'm wearing a green shirt that just happens to say Dallas sucks. I did not pick this out by choice.
Uh-huh.
Joe doesn't believe me.
Nope, 0%.
I'm not sure what to believe when it comes to rumors about what the Houston Rockets plan to do this offseason. So I saw a report that they are still interested in the Nets, Mikal Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
But that's from Kevin O'Connor, who covers the NBA for The Ringer. But I also just saw this from Kelly Eco. The Rockets are not trading the number three pick for Mikal Bridges.
Mm-hmm.
They're really excited about the prospect of drafting at number three. I hope that is the case. Here's what I would do if I were somehow involved with the Houston Rockets operation. I would talk to Tillman Fertitta, and I'd ask him this. Is Mikal Bridges blowing anyone's socks off? He's not blowing anyone's socks off. I don't know why I said it like that. We're just going to continue to say it like that and pretend that that's the way that I say it. If you're going to make a move, you should trade for somebody that is a bigger name than that. Mm-hmm. If you feel the need, you have to. But I think if we learn anything from these finals, it's that, yes, you can have the best player ever fall into your lap like the Rockets did, even in a draft like this, or you can do what the Celtics did and just draft really well.
Yeah.
Continue to draft really well. And Ime Udoka, having been there before, I hope that he is going to tell Rafael Stone, who's in charge of all this, but I would imagine Ime Udoka's telling him where he what he wants to do.
It's all luck.
I like hearing that. Yeah, you're right. It is all luck.
I mean, like Luka should be an Atlanta Hawk, but they're idiots. Like,
He should be three different teams.
Jason Tatum,
perhaps xenophobic.
Jason Tatum should be a Brooklyn Net.
The Suns had Luka's EuroLeague coach. They hired his EuroLeague coach. They had the number one pick, and then they're like, nah. Give us DeAndre Ayton.
Stupid.
There's a
Vlade Divac was the GM of the Kings, and he was like, nah,
damn,
no thanks. So, it's not even xenophobia. It's just a whole bunch of Euros.
Didn't think about that.
Didn't stick up for him.
Because he's chunky.
Yeah. They're just like, I don't see it.
Is Vlade
doing the ACC?
Hang on a second, though, because I mean,
there might be some Serbian-Slovenian beef.
Yeah, because he's
or maybe he's Croatian. I don't know.
I think that Vlade Divac.
He's Serbian.
He's Serbian. Yeah, okay. Dude.
Yeah. So that's the beef.
Yugoslavia. They got long memories there.
He's probably around when it was Yugoslavia.
No, literally, there is a 30 for 30 that involves Vlade Divac and that guy Petrovic, who I believe ended up getting killed.
Yeah. Maybe it's not Vlade, but
Drazen Petrovic.
There's some former NBA player that is at the top of a foreign government in this general region. I can't remember who it is.
Sounds about right. Again,
I feel like it was,
everything
I
goes.
I thought it was Vlade for a second.
Hidu Turkoglu is friends with the Turkish.
I think that's what I'm thinking.
Turkish guy.
And Ina's Freedom has been banned from the country forever.
I think I'm thinking of
has a Hidu podcast.
Does have a podcast. Weirdly.
I don't know if he has a podcast.
One of two surprises.
I assume he has a podcast.
Who would have thought that two NBA players would steer right and in media careers, not just Enes Freedom. Royce White. That's what Royce White, former Houston Rocket, has done. Royce White has gone very far to the right. The same guy who was bitching and moaning about how there weren't enough mental health protocols, even though the Rockets were bending over backwards to get him to play because of how talented he was.
Yeah, we couldn't get on an airplane.
Well, now he's bitching about the wokes. You know what? Hey, whatever gets you paid.
It's like he's running for senator.
He
right?
was. I don't. I think so? That's over. I think he lost.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I can't. You know.
It, you know, it'd be tough going from like I think it was Minnesota, maybe it was Iowa because that's where he went to college. Going back and forth from D.C. to Iowa without a no plane.
That's a lot of bus rides.
Yeah.
Speaking of podcasts,
yes,
LeBron James has a podcast with his future head coach, J.J. Redick. The NBA Finals have not even begun. LeBron James, he didn't make them. Didn't even come close to making them. But he did make the NBA Finals about himself because he was asked about Kyrie Irving. And he complimented Kyrie Irving. But wait until what you hear from him at the end.
Listen, I will call Kyrie the wizard all the time. Like, all the time. Like, there was nothing on the basketball floor that Kyrie couldn't do. And sitting here watching it, you know, I'm like, I'm playing like so f***ing happy and so proud and to watch him and continue his growth or whatever the case may be. And at the same time, I'm so f***ing mad at the same time that I am not his running mate anymore. So I'm like, I just remember those times.
I'm so mad he's not my teammate. I mean, you're the reason he's not your teammate anymore.
Yeah, because
tired of being your essentially Robin. You know, Batman had Robin for a while, but if you watch the cartoons, read the comics, eventually old Dick Grayson's like, F this.
Well, and Batman doesn't try to trade Robin all the time.
Gonna be Nightwing.
And that's what Kyrie, you know, has talked about in the past too, is he was tired of being in the rumors and in the of which, you know, client of Clutch is going to be a Cavalier because Kyrie Irving's been traded away. And like, that's really why he was not a Cav anymore, is because he doesn't want to do that anymore. Also, like, he's a lot younger. There was a story how the Lakers tried with Brooklyn.
Yeah, the Lakers wanted Kyrie.
Yeah, two first-rounders and Russell Westbrook for Kyrie.
Yeah.
Or and Windhorst, I think, got on Get Up today and was like, yeah, they could have – they had a chance to sign him this offseason, but they brought back Russell and Reeves instead, and Rui.
Last offseason, there were rumors that he was going to sign for the vet minimum.
Yeah.
With the Lakers.
Yeah.
And obviously, that was an exaggeration. No. But it was Kyrie at the time, and we're like, oh, who knows?
Yeah, and that goes to, like, part of it is, like, Kyrie's a different guy now. Kyrie is kind of, or at least he's operating differently than he was definitely when he was a Net,
and
then
know,
even as when he was a Celtic.
Sometimes it's as simple as shutting the F up.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Well, or he's right. Or
wow,
he's right.
The person who believes that the Earth is flat, he's not right about that.
No, but he was right about COVID. I mean, like, it was the whole thing was stupid that he couldn't play in New York.
I agree with that.
Like,
but hey, you got to clarify what you say he was right.
Because there's two different ones that are landmines.
And not the movie.
The three biggest ones.
Not the movie.
Two, he was very wrong.
He's one for three.
One for three, indeed.
I mean, you know, maybe dinosaurs weren't real.
Okay, Carl Everett.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Don't headbutt me.
Now, do you have any Amazon movies you want me to watch
No.
while you're at it?
Okay. Well, The Boys comes out next week. It's a TV
I'm
show.
Excited about that. I actually just finished a House of the Dragon rewatch.
Oh, really?
Yo, R.I.P. in pieces, dog.
Yeah. In case I can't wait for next
didn't
week.
See
no
that.
Spoilers, please.
I did watch The Acolyte last night. The two new episodes, debut episodes.
Get how woke was it?
It's not as woke. Like I saw this post about how like it's what does she say? It's like the gayest television show ever
because the main character is gay, right?
Yeah,
even though they're a Jedi, they're not allowed to.
It's eight
whatever.
Episodes, and we're two episodes in, and there's no like any of that. So like, I think
you're just watching for the sex. It's a kid's show. Come on.
Also, didn't happen. It's just Star Wars. Mm. There's a Wookiee.
Oh,
not having sex.
Never mind. Not
it is Galan and George. Sean Mames behind the glass. Pervert Joan, am I right?
Sean's the one that he's not watching.
Creepy
now.
Joan,
the pervert
to my right.
Sean.
Up next, Dana Brown spoke about a lot of things today. The two elbow surgeries that Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy are about to have, plus, with all of the injuries that are happening, are they about to do something
We determine whether or not we are down with the things that politician of a GM is saying next. It's Gallon and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Before we go to break, I want to tell you about my friends at O-Athletic, 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com. They offer over 100 classes per week, but also you can do personal training as well. So if you're like me and a little confused, unsure of what you want to do on your day-to-day workouts, if you're, you know, the style of workout you need to do to lose weight, how much cardio. We all hate running on treadmills, so there's other ways to do cardio besides that. Personal training is a great way to get answers to that. And whether you want to do 1, 3, 5 sessions per week, it's totally your call. They have a variety of trainers. They'll specialize in different things here and there so they can help figure out who's the best fit for you and your schedule as well. It's not like you have to be at the gym at a certain time every single day to do this. They will work with you. We're doing every Tuesday right now going forward as we catch up on some of our personal training sessions, me and my guy Cam. O-Athletic, it's a great gym. I can't recommend it enough. There's so many cool things there. Check them out, oathletic.com, and over at 767 North Shepherd in the Heights.
ESPN 97.5.